the wand, a puff of smoke, and the magic man pulls one out of the hat.
I still can't believe it happened.
Welcome to the Maroora's Magic Supercoach Quickfire Q&A heading into a big round of footy. Jeez, it's not sure it's just because I'm a bit stumped with my team, but I feel like this is a very important week in the context of the season. Obviously, we've got a lot of red dots building up on the bench. We've got rookies who have topped out in price, so those ones which we do want to trade out, at least they're green dots over those who are red dots. We've got the buyers coming up. We've got a few attractive premium upgrades, but none are screaming buy like they were in the prior weeks when we had some really low break evens where we thought, okay, this is the last chance to jump on. Like looking at the good value premium options this week, whether it's a Steele or Sinclair or Sicily, like they're still, their break evens are still enough that they're not going to get away from you. So it's a tricky week of trades. And then the downgrade options too, if you haven't got Chincotta, then that's a simple one, and you're in a good position. As I said, I didn't really feel the benefit in going early on Chincotta because I didn't get his points on field last week, didn't get any cash gen, and now trying to find some other downgrade option this week for my trade. So Chincotta's the easy one to make that move, and if you can then make a upgrade on the other end, and whether that's with a rookie, meaning a rookie off the field or a set of field before he leaks the cash, I think it's the pretty straightforward trade of the week. Now, questions. First one, how do you feel this time of year going the value premium option like a Steele, Butters or Sicily versus the top end who isn't as value but he's also might not get much cheaper than this in Clayton Oliver? I'm normally always get that value premium, someone you think can be a top end player at the discount, and I think Jack Steele, who's had 2 years before last year being 120 averaging super coaches, so he's penciled as a top eight mid for a lot of coaches. There's Butters who have shown he could be a top six forward. There's Sicily who was the number one defender last year. So my old school philosophy is typically go for that value top liner. It's just right now I'm in that same boat and I'm really considering using the boost and getting Clayton Oliver, who isn't the value, but he still is cheaper than he started the season, had a great season to date, and I feel like he's only warming up. Whereas I look at the other three, like Zach Butters I jumped on 2 weeks ago, he's playing great to the eye, but his scoring hasn't quite been there, which I think's a concern, that he's getting coaches' votes, playing well the weekend, just gone, had great efficiency, had great contested possession rate, but just doesn't get those easy tackles or easy marks that boost him from that mid-90s guy to the 110 we ideally want from someone like that. So I actually have my doubts with him, and especially with the likelihood of, say, someone like a Petrarca getting DPP come round 12, he's not going to be a top six. Sicily, development at Hawthorn, 1 week he's playing lockdown defender, 1 week he's not taking kick-ins. The other week he looks like that clear top number one defender we saw last year, but there's not much safety with that. And then Jack Steele, yes, he's had 2 years of 120. Yes, he's cheap. His break-even's still high enough that even if he does 2 big weeks in a row showing he can tackle on the back of that AC joint, then he's still not going to get away from you from next week. And just personally, owning him last year wasn't really blown away with him before his injury. And then so far this year, his games before his injury, he wasn't really setting the world on fire. So I'm cautious on the three despite them being value. And that's why I'm considering paying up for someone I know is going to be a top couple scorer in a Clayton Oliver, not to mention a captain option. So that's where I'm at this week. Normally I'm value, value, value. This week I think it's Oliver, but Tommy, who obviously knows this game as well as anyone, he's got the money to go for Oliver, but his view is this week he's going the cheaper one, being a Steele, knowing that he can then do a simple upgrade next week without having to use a boost. And that's where we're getting to at the moment. With the lack of cash gen on the bench, we've got to be cautious on our spend. See if we can save 100K, still get a top scorer. If Steele gets back to that 120 averaging play, he's not going to be many points behind. And Oliver, you're saving 100K, which make an easy upgrade next week. And that's typically how you complete your team quickest and score the best. It's just I'm not sold on any of those value ones just at the minute. Next question. Fergus Green is the only playing bench cover. So he's lot of red dots on the bench. Would you consider trading out Will Phillips now that he seems to be out in the out? I don't get what's happening with Will Phillips. He, obviously, number two draft pick. The Roos have invested time into him. He's had his issues off field with the glandular and injuries. And they're not going to do anything this year. They might as well get games into him and see if he is any good. I can't believe they're not playing him. Sixth oldest team on the park last week and got done by 100 playing your Kane Turners and your Liam Shieldses. Give this kid a go. But yes, he's on the out. If he's not getting a game this week, who's to say he's going to get a game soon? So he probably is it, trading him out before Fergus Green, knowing that you've at least got bench cover there. You'd hate to get rid of your only green dot. I can go Hopper up to Oliver or Stocker to Sicily and help save some money, do another upgrade next week. I'm fine with Hopper. He obviously scored poorly last week against a Gold Coast team who played a very high chip mark game, took a lot of uncontested marks and just almost played a bit of keepy off. So it meant that there was less stoppages, and that's where Hopper does his best work. Watching Hopper outside of round one, he's really impressed me to the eye in terms of what he can do in amongst the stoppages. He doesn't just get it and blaze. He bursts from stoppages. He uses it pretty well. He gets a lot of first possessions and contested possessions, and then also bobbed up and showed a bit more of an outside game than I expected. So, yes, he had a blip on the radar last week, but I'm penciling in Hopper to be someone I can hold. It's probably my last on-field upgrade. He's got the role, and I think he can score, so I'd certainly be doing Stocker to a Sicily or Will Power type. To split those two, right now I'm still the safety of a Sicily, but gee, Will Power does look good. Note, bear in mind, and the Mad Monk just reminded me that they play in the NT and in Cairns or in Gold Coast, two of the next three after this week, Gold Coast. They might have less chances to take the marks with the dewy conditions. So cautious on Will Power, but gee, he does look good to the eye. But yeah, I'm a safety man in Sicily this time of year. I can make another downgrade, not loving Angwin or Simpson, and then use a boost, which gets an upgrade to something like a DeGoey, George Hewitt, Warner type. Tim Kelly, someone he doesn't really love. Or just bank that extra cash and wait for next week to see if there's a better one available. I think in this game, in Supercoach, you're best off, if the player you're trading in, you want them to be a keeper. And looking at DeGoey, he can show at times he can be a keeper, but those high-impact players are very inconsistent, so I don't think you can rely on him each week. Tim Kelly in a struggling team, plus he seems to get a tag every now and then. He's had a great season to date, but I wouldn't trust him being a top. Warner, still bit youth, and it's showing his inconsistency. One game he looks like he's going to be a top 10 player in the comp, and then he goes quiet the next week, so I wouldn't trust him either. George Hewitt's the interesting one of those names you said, and he's one who I've really been considering this week. He's obviously down a heap in cash. He's had injury issues back end of last year and this year. But when he's fit and healthy, and particularly we saw it last year, he can score as well as anyone in Supercoach. I think if he had DPP still, he'd be top target for anyone. He's kind of gone under the radar a bit this week, but he is one I'm half considering. So I would consider that if that's the best you can get up to. But if you had extra funds and you could go to a safer play like a Jack Steele, who has done it before for more years, then I'd be doing that. With Zeebel carrying a knock, named in the forward line, Coleman Jones and Combin both out, no tools to replace, is there a chance he'll be asked to go forward and create a contest? Is it worth being proactive, moving off him in advance? I say no to that. First thing, I never really look at teams outside of extended benches, obviously. It means nothing. I very much doubt he will play forward. And given how good he has been going for the Roos as a leader down back for them. So I wouldn't do that. He's looking like a keeper. Yes, it could pay off if it's at 1% or say 10% chance of happening. You jump on early, he gets a bad score, knowing a lot of good coaches have him and they cop the fall in cash and the low score and then forced to trade and you're one step ahead. But I'd rather get that one step ahead in terms of getting in someone good new rather than jumping off someone good before a hypothetical happens. Is it worth paying up for Teakwood R3 for a bit of cover and also helps throughout the buyers? It then means that they might have to settle for a lesser premium, but they've mentioned Sinclair and Day here, who I think are fine premium upgrades. I think they're going to be top six defenders or close enough to it. Oh, Teakle. I've also considered that. That shows how lost I am in my trades this week. I'm trying all sorts of scenarios, thinking that these ruckmen get 3 points in Supercoach, and the number one ruck, if he gets a decent run at it, he might make us 150K, not to mention get us through the buys with an extra ruck you can swing around. It's just watching Ken Hinckley, the way he works his rucks, and to be fair, Teakle hasn't really done a heap just yet. He played against Bailey Williams, who people have been putting massive scores on their head, and I think he got a 70 that week against Bailey Williams for West Coast. And then week two was against Ron Marshall, and Ron Marshall had a 159 and basically barely rucked the last quarter. It was all Finlayson looked good. So Ken Hinckley's happy to play Finlayson and Dixon as the ruck. So there's a chance Teakle doesn't get a game next week or the week after, or he gets subbed out. They want some more run. They play a Finlayson there. So that scenario is enough for me to be scared off using Teakle as my downgrade, and I'm settling for, if I do trade, that is a Sam Simpson, noting that I've already got Chin Cotter. Who would you trade out this week? Neither on the field, Hollands or Wilmot. That's a flip of the coin, those two. Your guess is as good as mine. Grundy, got in for the price hike. Now it's time to jump off. Would you consider Soldo as a way to make some cash? Hopefully in the next 5 rounds, by that point, Darcy Cameron might be back and move straight to him. I think it is a move, as I said. Ruckman get 3 points. Soldo put a good score up in very low game time, and he's a cheap price, and he's got that forward ruck switch, and he's got that easy matchup this week versus Bailey Williams. So he ticks a lot of boxes. In this fixed trade game of Supercoach, though, you're going to have to use another trade on that position, which you've likely already used one to Witts to Grundy, or whoever it was to make you go down to Grundy, Gawn to Grundy. Then you've used a second one to go Grundy to Soldo. Then you have to use another one to go to a Cameron, who likely then have to be swung forward to then get an English. So it's a lot of trades to be using in that one department. And Nankervis being named as 2 to 3 weeks is a big concern, and you might not even get that 5-round run at it where he'll make that 100K for you. It might only be 2 or 3 weeks, and then you're going to have to look at doing a trade again. So it's enough for me in this format to jump off. I think in fantasy it's got a bit more of a merit because you've got those trades to use and you can use the stepping stones. But for me, I'd be just going up as hard as it is to a Timmy English, noting that he's going to drop a little bit of cash, but he has a good matchup this week. Looking to trade out Setterfield and Philippou, bring in Cogs and Sam Simpson, but they're just a little bit short. Would you hesitate swapping out Philippou for Wilmot just to make sure you get that trade? As long as they're on your bench, yes, you're going to leak a bit more cash with a Philippou than you are with a Wilmot, but yeah, if they're on your bench, make sure you get that keeper you want. Don't settle for a second best keeper just to make it sure you get a better bench rookie. This coach has got Callum Mills, and he's been a killer for him. It's been stiff horse. He hasn't done it for a couple of years now, mind you, but he used to be notorious for killing fantasy footy coaches, and he's done it again this year with Callum Mills. But I wouldn't be trading out now. If anything, I'd be tempted to go early and try to jump on him. And noting that he had a nice bump in CBAs last week, I think he'll realise that what he was doing with Mills down back wasn't working. What he was doing early in the season with Mills on a wing wasn't working. What worked last year was Mills as an All-Australian midfielder, get him in the midfield, get him tackling, doing what we know he can do, and hopefully he'll bounce back the rest of the year and make up all those points he's lost so far this year. Question, do you boost to get Day in for Hopper? For me, it's a no. I think there's every chance Hopper can score in line with Day. And that is all the questions. All right, so as I said, my trades, I'm still yet to really know exactly what I'm going to do. I've got the Chincotta and got the emergency on him tonight, and that's going to dictate a lot about what I do. If Chincotta scores well, it means I don't have to do a trade to get an extra rookie off the ground. So I won't use a boost, and not using a boost might mean settling for a Jack Steele and a Sam Simpson's probably where I'm sitting. If Chincotta doesn't do well, then I will potentially hold Will Setterfield and then trade another rookie to get a premium and play that instead of a Chincotta. But I'm hoping Chincotta goes well tonight. I'll be able to do a simple upgrade, get a Jack Steele, which, as I said, I'm not sold on, but 102 price tag for someone who's gone 120 2 years in a row, I think he's a good get. Alrighty, enjoy your weekend, and we'll touch base with Tommy on Wednesday morning. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.